听力课堂，听 class.com。
Step by step, 2000, book 4, unit 8, love and help, 2, part 1, warming up. A. You are going to hear 7 public welfare advertisements.Supply the missing words while listening.
The elderly at home and in the neighborhood, especially those living alone, need your care and support. Show your concern and attend to their needs wherever possible. Your support warms their hearts and brings them hope. If you find any elderly people in need of help, call the Social Welfare Department hotline on 2343-2255 or contact the nearby Family Services Center.
Hong Kong, not only is it one of the world's great cities, it's also our home. So let's all start taking more pride in its appearance. Let's keep Hong Kong clean.
Different stages of life, we have different roles to play. As good citizens, we are willing to do our part for a better society. But you can't walk away from a fine. Use the bin or risk a $25,000 fine and 6 months imprisonment.
We are about to use a four-letter word.
This word can clear a room.
This word makes some people sick.
This word leaves others in disgust.
Some people pretend it doesn't exist.
Others wish it would go away.
You won't hear it in next company.
You won't hear it used at home.
And you certainly won't hear it in schools.
The fact is,
if more people use this word, less people would be affected by it.
True harmony can only exist when men and women have equal opportunities. Sex discrimination destroys this harmony and is unlawful.Stand up for equal opportunity. The Equal Opportunities Commission. Hotline 2511-8211.
When traveling abroad, you should take preventive measures against cholera, hepatitis A, and other diarrheal diseases. Drink only boiled water or bottled and canned drinks. Avoid eating cut fruits or fruits that are not cleansed.When you take shellfish, make sure that they are thoroughly cooked. Always keep an eye on food hygiene. Clean, stay healthy.
B. Read the following difficult sentences and listen.
A cure for AIDS by the year 2025 is not inconceivable.But constrained by economic reality, these therapeutic advances will have only limited benefit outside the U.S. and Western Europe.
Over half of the 1,500 junior high and high school students surveyed said they were taught how to deal with peer pressure to have sex, where to get and how to use contraception, how to talk to a partner about safe sex, and where to get tested for sexually transmitted diseases, including HIV/AIDS.
The Narcotics Board's recently published annual report for last year. It's a detailed route.
There have been periods that share some of today's characteristics. She points to the turn of the last century, the late 1800s and early 1900s, as an example.
It was a time of huge technological change, and you've always had tremendous opportunity when you've had tremendous change in technology. You had a huge influx of immigrants into the country, really following the notion of the American dream, which is that America was a land of infinite opportunity.
It was then, Rita David says, that Scottish immigrant Andrew Carnegie founded a steel plant that would eventually make him the richest man in the world. It was in that period, she says, that banker J.P. Morgan provided venture capital.
Part 2. Anti-AIDS Campaign. A. Here is a report about the spread of HIV and the possibility of curing AIDS. Listen carefully. Complete the following statements.
Predicting the future is risky business for a scientist. It is safe to say, however, that the global AIDS epidemic will get much worse before it gets any better. Sadly, this modern plague will be with us for several generations, despite major scientific advances. As of January 2000, the AIDS epidemic has claimed 15 million lives and left 40 million people living with a viral infection that slowly but relentlessly erodes the immune system. Accounting for more than 3 million deaths in the past year alone, the AIDS virus has become the deadliest microbe in the world, more lethal than even TB and malaria. There are 34 developing countries where the prevalence of this infection is 2% or greater. In Africa, nearly a dozen countries have a rate higher than 10%, including four southern African nations in which a quarter of the people are infected. And the situation continues to worsen. More than 6 million new infections appeared in 1999. This is like condemning 16,000 people each day to a slow and miserable death. Fortunately, the AIDS story has not been all gloom and doom. Less than 2 years after AIDS was recognized, the guilty agent, human immunodeficiency virus, or HIV, was identified. We now know more about HIV than about any other virus. And 14 AIDS drugs have been developed and licensed in the U.S. and Western Europe. The epidemic continues to rage, however, in South America, Eastern Europe, and Sub-Saharan Africa. By the year 2025, AIDS will be by far the major killer of young Africans, decreasing life expectancy to as low as 40 years in some countries, and single-handedly erasing the public health gains of the past 50 years. It is Asia, with its huge population at risk, that will have the biggest impact on the global spread of AIDS. The magnitude of the pandemic could range from 100 million to 1 billion, depending largely on what happens in India and China. 4 million people have already become HIV positive in India, and infection is likely to reach several percent in a population of 1 billion. An explosive AIDS epidemic in the U.S. is unlikely. Instead, HIV infection will continue to fester in about 0.5% of the population. A cure for AIDS by the year 2025 is not inconceivable. But constrained by economic reality, these therapeutic advances will have only limited benefit outside the U.S. and Western Europe. A vaccine is our only real hope to avert disaster unparalleled in medical history. A large, concerted effort of research was launched 3 years ago in the U.S., and hints of promising strategies are emerging from experiments in monkeys. But even if an AIDS vaccine is developed before 2025, it will require an extraordinary effort of political will among our leaders to get to the people who need it most.
B. In this section, you are going to hear a report about sex education in the United States. 1. Listen carefully. Complete the following statements with proper numbers and information.
Most students in the nation's public schools receive some form of sex education, but it's not always clear what schools are teaching or what educators, parents, and children think about it. Kids are learning a lot more about sex than many people think, and parents want schools to teach them even more.
Sex education usually starts in elementary school as part of the health curriculum. By the 12th grade, 90% of all public school students have taken at least two sex education courses.
The large majority are providing some information about HIV/AIDS.
Says Erin Brockovich is especially interesting to portray because she's a real person.
She's an incredibly intriguing person to examine and then has so many great qualities that as an actor make it easy and interesting to play her.
You're emotional. You're erratic. You make this personal and it isn't.
That is my work, my sweat, my time away from my kids. If that's not personal, I don't know what is.
She could have been a very quiet, you know, well, this doesn't seem right. I don't know about this. And that's okay to play, but it's more fun to go, what is this all about? This doesn't make any sense. You know, I mean, that's just more interesting. The energy with which she approaches.
Getting pregnant doesn't always stop kids from having sex. Where are parents in all this?
I think many parents have no idea what's actually happening in the schools.
Parents should have the right to keep their children out of sex education classes that teach things that they don't agree with. Many schools do notify parents when their child starts sex education, but in most cases, schools don't need the parents' permission. Instead, 40% of schools invited parents to attend sex education classes. A surprising 22% of schools did not notify parents at all. Still, a clear majority of parents wanted to see more sex education in schools, not less. And they don't just want abstinence or the basics of human reproduction. Over 90% of parents want schools to cover HIV/AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases, rape, safe sex. Most said condoms and birth control needed to be discussed. They thought abortion was an appropriate topic and thought that homosexuality should be included too. Researchers say this surprising level of support for more sex education may be due to the fact that parents don't talk to their children about sex, so they want schools to do it. Only a third of the students surveyed cited parents as a source of information about sex. 61% said that most of what they do know about sex they learned from their friends, followed by television, movies, and magazines. The message that educators should note is that there is a need for more sex education, not less, and a more practical approach to the dangers and risks of sexual behavior.
2. Listen again. Answer the following questions in note form. Drug therapy. A. You are going to hear a report about drug therapy. 1. Listen to the first part of the report. Focus on the questions and answers.
A United Nations drug agency has warned that legal prescription drugs like Viagra, steroids, and diet pills are being taken in worrying quantities in the West. Dan Damon now asks whether people in the industrialized world really are in need of medication for illnesses like depression, or whether it's simply becoming easier and more socially acceptable to try and correct mood and behavior through controlled drugs.
Generally, we think drug problems are something to do with contraband and illicit street corner deals. But the International Narcotics Control Board, which monitors the effectiveness of government measures to control the illegal drugs trade, also checks the use of prescription pharmaceuticals. And here, too, there are serious problems.
In developed countries, the prevalence of anxiety and insomnia and the consumption of sedative hypnotics are growing. The board notes with concern the frequent long-term use, sometimes indefinitely, of psychotropic substances for treating psychological reactions to social pressure without a diagnosis for a specific disorder.
The Narcotics Board's recently published annual report for last year. It's a detailed review of how drugs to treat psychological...
Neighboring Pennsylvania has a museum of mushrooms. Pennsylvania also has two pretzel museums. And another that deals only with trumpets. In Minnesota's largest city, Minneapolis, is a fascinating specialty collection. It's the Museum of Questionable Medical Devices, a big room full of gadgets, dials, bells, and blinking lights. All were once advertised as magic cures for what ails humans, from flat feet to cancer. The instruments and implements in the Museum of Questionable Medical Devices have been proven to be complete frauds. Bob McKay runs the museum. He's a retired salesman who sold steel...
...up and along the rock.
You have to think while you're afraid. I mean, you have a fear that's coming up, and the nice thing about the sport is learning to control fear, like learning to just use it rather than have it consume you.
Part 2. New Fashions. A. Here is a program about barbecue. Listen carefully. Take notes and answer the following questions.
Hi! Remember we spent all day preparing that barbecue? Well, the time is...
Better at school. Professor Stephen Rose from Britain's Open University is worried that advances in biochemistry are being used to mask what children really need, more discipline or more care. And Professor Rose is afraid that Western culture is now so wedded to pharmaceutical answers, patients and parents are unwilling to accept that drugs are not the answer to everything.
2. Listen again. Take notes for the supporting examples of treatment mentioned in the report. B. Listen to the second part of the report. Focus on the questions and answers.
It's up to doctors to monitor the use of drugs and to be sure they're prescribing them for the right reasons, not to keep patients quiet. But at the same time, we should recognize drugs can make a big difference and not condemn their increased use, either as a plot by pharmaceutical companies or as a shortcut by busy doctors. That doesn't answer the problem of time. One simple and revolutionary idea has emerged from a doctor in South London.
He was really sick and tired of prescribing antidepressants for people's loneliness and anxiety, and he thought, well, there must be a way we can do something better than this. Why aren't we prescribing time?
Sarah Burns is from the New Economics Foundation, a reform group based in London. She's been working with that doctor and with a growing number of others to develop what's called time banking. Patients who need more human contact to help them with their difficulties are linked together by a time broker who involves them in projects to build up time credits. Where money is short, as in any state-funded health service, this kind of time credit system can bring people with social problems a lot of benefit.
So lonely, so lonely in me.
Schemes like that do remind us that chemicals are only part of the answer to social problems, and a well-functioning society must be the background to any therapy.
Better not hear it described as a Julia Roberts movie.
It's a great part and a really great story, and it's the infinitely worshipable Steven Soderbergh, and it's Albert Finney, and it's, you know, it's a lot of things.
You gotta find a different job or a different guy.
For the first time in my life, I got people respecting me. Please, don't ask me to give it up.
Erin Brockovich is produced by Danny DeVito's Jersey Films and is jointly released by Universal in North America and Columbia Pictures internationally.
I've been swimming in a sea of anarchy. I've been living on coffee and nicotine. I've been wondering if all the things...
Now, the third program in our series, What Would You Do? Today we look at the way people respond to street violence. Would you go to help someone in trouble in the street? Of course, most people would say yes, but it isn't as easy as that. As Stephen Marriott, a 32-year-old football coach,
found out one cold night in Gateshead.
Stephen, you were the victim of an attack in the street once, weren't you?
That's right, yeah, a couple of years ago now.
What happened exactly?
Well, I was walking home one evening, it was about 10:30, I suppose, when I heard someone screaming, and I saw these two teenage lads kicking an old man on the ground.
So you went to help?
That's right. In fact, there were two other men walking past at the same time, but they didn't do anything. Just walked past. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, I shouted at the two lads to stop, but they just said, push off, or words to that effect. So I went to help the old man, and one of them hit me over the head with a brick.
Didn't that knock you out?
Well, nearly, yeah. I think I was only half conscious. And then they grabbed my arms and cut my face with a piece of broken glass. And then they ran away.
It all sounds absolutely horrific. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there anyone around to help you?
No, it all happened so fast.
Blanchard is thin and in peak physical condition.
17. To be every bit as important.
Back at ground level, Blanchard explains that physical conditioning is just one part of the sport. Mental conditioning is every bit as important.
Did the police catch the boys in the end?
Yes, one got 2 years in prison and the other got 15 months. But they only served part of their sentences. I see them on the streets occasionally. Well, it makes me very bitter.